Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePria from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform, for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you get into the message. God bless you. 1 John 4 verse 4. Go with me to 1 John 4 verse 4. Let's read from here. Say this with me. Everybody say this with me. Say, you are. Say that like this. Say, I am of God. John is saying here, listen here, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because of who He is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Are you guys with me? And we have 70 viewers from all over, from Germany, Sudan, USA, or everybody in South Africa. We want to welcome them as well. Say this with me again. Say, you are of God. Say with me, proskuneo. We use the term this whole month, proskuneo, which basically means in the Greek to lie prostrate in front of God, face down, to come into a place of intimacy and a place of relationship. Listen to me, prayer that is not birthed from a place of relationship is nothing but fleshly works. I'm going to say it again. Prayer that is not built from a relationship is nothing but fleshly works. Are you guys with me? Say it with me again. Say, you are of God, little children. I say, I am of God. Listen here. What does this scripture mean? And I've mentioned and ministered it a lot. Birds give birth to birds. Fish gives birth to fish. Cows give birth to cows. But God gives birth to God. So, you are of God. Are you guys with me? Basically, do you not understand he is saying that you are the offspring of God? That if he is God, you are little gods. It is not an antichrist gospel, this thing. It is just plain simple. Even as Jesus said, do you not know that you are gods? Are you guys with me? It'll place a divinity inside of you when you have this revelation that you know it doesn't matter where you walk or where you talk or how you walk, even if you deal with a business deal or whatever it is, that you carry the image and the qualities and the function of God. It doesn't matter where you go. When people look at you, all they can see is God. That is the question. Ah, you guys okay? Blake, don't let it drop. Don't let it drop. See, I don't let it drop. Are you guys with me? One person was clapping, the others were dead. Am I unanointed this morning? I think we must give to Chris. Say with me, I am of God. Say this with me. Say, His incorruptible seed is inside of me. If God gives birth after His own kind, and Jesus was born not from the blood of His mother, but from the blood of His father, and we are His brethren, His fellow brethren. Are you guys with me? Having the same father, coming from the same place, being the offspring of God Himself, it means that we carry an incorruptible seed, as Peter says. An incorruptible seed is we carry the sperma of God on the inside of us, ready to give birth after something. I don't know if you guys are understanding. When you carry the incorruptible seed, it means that you are ready to give birth to something that is of God, of where that seed comes from, which means it is just a matter of time until you begin to be fruitful. It is just a matter of time until that seed begins to be birthed after its own kind. Whether it is business, whether it is finances, whether it is e-groups or multiplying or getting people saved or miracles or signs or wonders, but it is going to be an offspring of God. Are you guys with me? Listen, listen. Put it on for verse 14. Verse 17. Listen to this. And many of you know this. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness. Say with me, boldness in the day of judgment. This thing of people that are not sure of their sin and they don't know if they're going to heaven or not, that is not scripture. Are you guys with me? When the blood comes, we have to have fully convinced. We need to have full boldness. What we're going to say in front of the throne of judgment. We must have full boldness to know that we have been forgiven of each sin. Because, why can we have this boldness? He says, because as He is, where? In heaven, so are we in this world. Which means if He's standing in heaven right now with a sword coming out of His mouth and fire coming out of His eyes, with a white robe and a golden belt around His robe, and He's there to judge nations. Are you guys with me? As He is, so are we in this world. He's saying, I have an offspring that is dwelling there on this earth. That once they tap into their identity, they will dominate in every area of life. They will rule in every area of life. Are you guys with me? I don't know if it is a Sunday morning to this evening. We minister, we lay hands, we prophesy. But this morning I need to teach you. Are you guys with me? Say with me, prayer. Proskeneo. Listen here. Prayer that demands results. Are you guys with me? Let's say I say, Eckert, you could run there. Okay, stop, come back. Come back. Okay, he was disobedient there. Okay, thanks. See, he was obedient without knowing what to do. Are you guys understand what I'm saying? I don't have to tell him to go there. Why? So that, you know, please, if you can just fix that TV. And then maybe he's like... And he goes, do it. As I go there, God said to Abraham, go to Mount Nebo. That's it. And do what? And die. Then God said to him, die. Another one, go to a far country. Go to leave your father's house. Go to a far country. That's it. He doesn't tell him where to go. He just tells him one thing first. Leave where you are. The first voice that will come to you of God when you get saved and you're still in this, in the lifestyle of a worldly lifestyle. Got all your friends that's backslidden, they pull you down the whole time. And you, every time you're with them, you feel you're falling into drinking or drunkenness or smoking or this or that. And they're affecting your relationship with God. The first voice is to get out of there. Then I'll tell you where to go. So Moses, go from a country far from here. Leave your mother and your father's house so that I can show you where to go. He said, listen here, I can only show you where to go and speak to you regarding divine destruction once you have left an atmosphere that is not conducive to me. Are you guys with me? When you find a place or a church where the atmosphere of God is not conducive, yes, we have lights and we have all these great things, but I'm speaking of the anointing right now, where the anointing or the presence of God is not tangible or thick in an atmosphere. It means that God cannot speak or divinely guide you as to where to go with your life and what to do. Are you guys with me? So Eckhart is running and he comes back without fully submitting, but without knowing what to do. That is submission. Submitting yourself, but not knowing what instruction you're going to get. Are you guys with me? But in the church, we play it other way around. We say, God, please do this. I'm getting on my knees now, and please, God, I need money. Can you do this for that family? Can you do that for my finances? Can you do that for our food? I'm building this house. Can you do this for this house? I like that car. Can you give me that car? And it's all good, okay? It's all good, but only good. So and it ends up like we are the one who's telling God to go someplace and coming back. Are you guys with me? That the roles have shifted to say that it's no longer God who's saying, listen here, where Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. And the Lord said, go to the people, we'll send you to them. But he said, here am I, Lord, send me. The yieldedness of people is away. And we've turned this role around where we come to prayer meetings and just irritatingly pray for things that he has already given us or already answered us on. And my prayer and a bold statement I'm saying this morning, I sent it to you on an SMS. God does not answer prayer. ... Because there'll come some more. Okay? God does not answer prayer. There are three things to this thing when it comes to prayer. That if those three things are removed, it's nothing but a mechanical, one-sided relationship. Because all we do is we ask in God, do this, go there, and we treat him like a slot machine. Coming in, throwing a bit of money, you know, we pull his lever, we see some bananas or something going, and then we see, and then maybe we get some money. We pull the slot machine, it doesn't work, nothing's coming out, let's go to the next one. And we prostitute him to fulfill the lusts of our flesh. Are you guys with me? I hope this is going to come through okay. But it will hopefully land okay. So, listen. John the Baptist had a ministry. John the Baptist Ministry International, okay? And Jesus, the Bible says that his disciples ran to Jesus' disciples and said that, listen, John is teaching us how to pray. He's telling us how to get on our knees, how to pray like this, how to pray like that. Obviously, John had a prayer ministry. And Jesus said to them, he said, for as long, and I'm putting these things into context now, so don't worry, as long as I am with you, even when it comes to fasting, you do not have to pray or fast. Why? It's like you are standing in front of me. If you talk to me, you're anyway talking to the Father. But he got upset with them because they still couldn't grasp the relationship fact. They still wanted to come with a tradition. Put it up in Mark 7 verse 13. Listen to this. Verse 12. Verse 13. Listen to this. Wait, go verse 12. Go verse 11, let's see. Is he from me coming? Is this the green bunny? Mother. No, it's fine. Verse 13. So, making the word of God, say with you, of no effect. It's, in fact, another translation will tell you, nullified of its power. Through certain things, through your, oh my God. Through your, through your tradition, which you have handed down. Now listen to this, this is the sentence. And many such things you do. He's saying it's not only tradition, but there are many such things that you do that have become a tradition to you in the church. Or in your relationship with God. Are you guys with me? And we have taken this thing like John's ministry, and they have been taught a traditional prayer on how to pray. While Jesus is saying, listen here, your eyes are not open yet to understand that the Father is standing in front of you. Why do you want to go and get on your knees and pray while I'm standing in front of you? He wanted to get a key through to them that it is about relationship. But because his disciples kept moaning and kept moaning, he gave them the model of prayer, which the church has now taken and made it a tradition. And it wasn't even really supposed to be in there. This was Jesus answering angrily to Jesus' disciples, saying, listen here, do you want a prayer? Okay, pray this prayer if you really want something. God will give bondage to people if they're really crying out for it. I can show you from Genesis to Revelation. Are you guys with me? Now we're all sitting in church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as... Shut up. I'm meaning it with all kindness in my heart. I really am. Are you guys with me? Healthy relationship. He was mad because they went and seen something impressive from John's ministry. And then they wanted to bring that rules, regulations, and traditions to Jesus' ministry. And Jesus said, listen here, John is of the old dispensation. I am of the new dispensation. He says, John proclaimed and spoke of me coming. Yet you want me to adapt a tradition of him. He says, John could not do any sign, wonder, or miracle. Yet you want me to adapt a tradition of him. John was in prison for offense. And he was even questioning my validity. When he said these words, are you the one, Jesus, or do we look for another one? What do you mean, John? I was in the womb when you were in Elizabeth's womb. I was walking towards, we were growing up, I was walking towards you when you were baptizing others and you pointed your finger at me and you said, behold, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. What do you mean, am I the one, John? You are offended. Are you guys with me? You are offended because Jesus answered John back with one sentence when he asked him that question. He said, go tell John, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the poor has the gospel preached to them. I'm here to prophesy to you, centurion, that the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the poor has the gospel preached to them. I'm here to prophesy to Krugersdorp that the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the poor has the gospel preached to them. There's nothing that can be done about that one. Are you guys with me? So they wanted to bring a tradition on Jesus, and he's trying to say, listen here, John, I've surpassed him. You're sitting with the one who John was speaking of. He says, you're sitting with the one whom John was praying to. Are you guys with me? Yet you're asking me how to pray. So his disciples at this point could not yet catch what was going on. I want to give you three keys this morning, just three ones. That's going to revolutionize your prayer life, and we'll get to why God doesn't answer prayer. Is it so late already? Oh my goodness. I see people are leaving. I thought, are they offended? Then I realize it's the ushers. I realized it was the ushers. That was too many. Okay. So stay with your relationship. I'll get to the other two just now. Listen here. Listen. Your prayer must be built from a place of relationship. If it does not come from that place, birth from that place, intercession, supplications, all those things will be vain and empty. Are you guys with me? There are many types of prayers. I know that. Many types of prayers. But I want us to focus on a relationship prayer right now. So things I'm going to say now might contradict intercessory prayer. But please understand, even intercession must come from a relationship. Are you guys with me? Look. Go with me to Philippians 2 verse 11. And I'm just taking slow and talking slow to you. We'll be finished by 10. And then tonight we're getting into Allos Parakletos, which is going to be amazing. I'm going to share on the five dimensions of sensitivity. I'm going to speak on the five dimensions of sensitivity to the Holy Ghost tonight. And you're going to see how the word touch how the words shaking, how these words were used in the Old Testament to determine and show the relationship we can have with the Holy Ghost. So, you know, it's amazing when we pray, and it's all about prayer this month. Are you guys with me? We can have a prayer service Sunday. Last week, Sunday night, I did it. Sunday night, Martin was preaching. Last week, Sunday, I was, we did a whole prayer meeting, anointed everyone, finances or whatever you want to. Whole church was staying in a circle, and we went and laid hands with power. And, you know, four specific things. Yet people will come afterwards. I'm telling you, they'll come afterwards. We've just prayed for it. They'll come afterwards and say to me, "Dear pastor, can you please pray for my finances?" No. I hope you understand that I'm human. That I can swear inside, I repent. Okay, I repent. But it's... And don't laugh now if you're going to walk out here Facebooking me, or that guy, that church, or giving us the newspapers, which they've already done. Okay. So... It's like, I'm like, "But we have just prayed for you." "Yes, but can you just pray for me?" That is doubt, not faith. Which tells me you didn't receive it the first time. How are you going to receive it? Some people think when you pray, it must, boom, it must appear there. No. When you pray, the Bible says, pray and ask as you have already received it. Because God has already given it to you. And I'm going to show you why God does not answer prayer. Are you guys with me? That when you pray, why He doesn't answer you. Or not you, in general. Why does not God not answer prayer? He answers something else. Are you guys with me? Let's go to Philippians 2 verse 11. We need faith. Listen, the whole tradition thing. Samson knew when he took the jawbone of a donkey and he slew 1,000 that he had to take that jawbone and threw it away. If not, the church of God of Samson those days would take little miniature jawbones and they would anoint it and sell it off as to the 1,000 times more anointing. Because revelation must be kept fresh. The Bible said he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Are you guys with me? When I live of manna of yesterday, something is wrong. Manna had to be eaten every day. Are you guys with me? Philippians 2 verse 11. It says, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the God Father." Next verse. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always..." Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Next verse. "For it is God who works in you." Say with me, "It is God who works in you both to will." Say with me, "Will." "And to do." Say with me, "Do." "For His good pleasure." He says, looking here, listen. "It is God who energeo." The word "works" is energeo, which simply means divine energy from heaven. It's an energy that is coming from heaven, inspired from God Himself. That it comes upon a person whose heart is right aligned. They have a good heart. They're aligning themselves maybe by their position, maybe by their integrity, maybe a variety of things. But that God gives them energy. That energeo takes them to a place to even want to pray or want to read the word. You are not getting me. If you're going to leave out of this place and say, "Today, I'm going to pray 3 hours today," I can bet you R1 million you won't. Are you guys with me? He draws close to Himself those whom He wants. He puts the desire and the force. Let me take energy in a different word. The actual meaning of it is force. God forces us forces in us both to will and to do. when you pray and you feel inspired, when you have that spark inside your spirit here, I call it my knower, right here, you have a spark. And that spark says, I'm hungry to go pray. It is God energizing you right there. When you have that spark here, or just that warmness coming into your spirit, that's saying, I just feel like getting into the Word. Now it's God pushing you to get into the Word. Are you guys with me? When this happens, if it doesn't happen, and I go and pray, and I can pray, and I can pray, and I can pray, nothing will happen. Now, please understand when I talk about relationship, not intercession. Otherwise, we're going to have no one here on Saturday morning praying because then none of them are feeling nothing, okay? So, intercession is a different aspect. That is praying for somebody else, on somebody else's needs. So it already falls into another category that I'll show with you out of the 3 points. But this one of relationship, you wanting to go read your Bible, you wanting to go pray, it must be coming from your spirit. There must be a tugging and a pulling. Are you guys with me? How does that happen? When we repent, when we give our hearts to the Lord, when we get filled afresh in services like this, he says, listen here, do not forsake the gathering of the saints as with the manner of some. Are you guys with me? Do not forsake the gathering of the saints as with the manner of some. How do I get energized? In the week, you might not know how to, it's drying out. Then you get into an e-group, and then you are energized again. Then you come to a Sunday, and you are energized again. Until you get to a place where you know how to stir up the energeo of God, the force that is in you about Him. Are you guys with me? Not forsaking the gathering of the saints as the manner of some, which means it's bad manners when we don't come to church. Okay? So, Philippians, where were we? Yes. Say with me, energeo. Listen here. This is a prayer where God forces you, your mouth to open and the words to come out of your mouth. It is a prayer that we call proskeneo this whole month, which I want to get you at. It is a prayer that you can get into your room now. Get on your knees and raise your hands, and having boldness, having relationship, having confidence, and you just lift your hands and you pray one sentence and you stand up and you walk out. I am not speaking now of spending time in the presence of God. Different aspect. Are you guys with me? I'm speaking of a boldness where you can just say, it's forced by God to go do it. He prays through you, you stand up, and that prayer is answered already. Why is it answered? Are you guys with me? Let's just go to, I'm looking for a verse here. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 22, verse 29. Matthew 22, verse 29. La rodus tekenama. And tonight is going to be amazing, I'm telling you. Something's happening at nights in the church here, so we're trying to calm it down for teaching in the morning. Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. This is, and next verse. For in the resurrection by neither married nor given in marriage, but are like angels of God. Go for one verse previously and another verse previously. I'm just looking for something. One verse later, but for in the King James Version, 29. Verse 29, King James. I'm looking for a word. Listen to this. Jesus said unto them, you have erred, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Are you guys with me? These people were students of the word in those days. They were scholars. They would study the word, and especially they would study the Pentateuch, which was the Jewish Bible of those days. They would study the whole law for them to have been passed onto this level. And Jesus looked at them and he says, even though you've studied, you might quote every scripture, when it comes to the word, you have erred, you have error, because you don't know the word and you don't know the power of God. A church that lacks revelation moves into error. A church that lacks power moves into error. They must have both revelation and power. Are you guys with me? I choose to preach revelation on Sunday morning. You guys look dead. Are you with me? Okay. So, let's put a smile on your face and tell Jesus you love him. It's not so bad. Okay. Go through to John 8 verse 32. Zera nostum. Listen to this. And I'm just jumping. I'm going to close off with a very good piece. Right now, it's just small pieces. I want to get a point through to you. Say with me again. Say proskeneo. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Say with him, make you free. You see, we read this thing differently and we understand it differently. The truth there is the knowledge of the truth. Meaning I shall have a relationship with this truth in here. I cannot just read it as truth. I'll go into error. How many messages, hundreds of messages I just received the last week about ministers hitting me and saying I'm in error and so on. No. You have unmistakably, I said to the one person, I said it must be a very sad day when you realize that for 40 years you've been taught wrong. I said, I understand your pain. I understand your rantings and all that stuff. But listen here. It is the knowledge of this truth. The knowledge of this truth is for those that are in an esoterical realm. You get Edo, you get Gnosko, and you get Epignosko. Epignosko is those reserved for those in the esoterical realm. It is those whose hearts God looks at and he says they are like little children, or they've pleased me, they've aligned their hearts right. Now I open up the word to them in a greater way, because there are some where the word has not been opened to them. Are you guys with me? God opens up the word when you have a childlike faith. He said to his disciples, he said, you are like babes in the kingdom. And because of that, I have made known my mysteries to you. My secrets, which I've hidden and closed off from the others. Are you guys with me? So, you can take this word and know it just by quoting it and speaking it. It carries no power. When it carries power is when you had a revelation of it. When you're walking and living and breathing it. When the word now moves location, it moves from the Bible into you. And wherever you go or any principle you speak and you might not say a scripture, but you're speaking the word. And if anybody wants to come against you, it's like they can find it in the word. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Jesus, listen. The Bible says that... Are you guys with me? Listen here. The Bible says that Jesus, that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. Put to me 1 John 1 verse 1. Let's see. And the Word was with God. And Martin. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. No. John 1. Guys, come on. Know your scriptures. John 1 verse 1. Hey? John 1. Thank you. In the beginning was the Word. So, does it say God? Okay. I told you, Genesis is the beginning of this earth. John is the beginning of everything. In the beginning was the Word. Was it God? No. But don't worry. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Next verse. He was in the beginning with God. Which tells me the Word is separate from God. As we know is Jesus. It's Sophia spoken in the book of Proverbs that I taught you on. Where it says that Sophia says, wisdom, that from the beginning I have been there. When the angels were formed, when the earth was formed, when you were created, I was right there. When this happened, I was there, I beheld this. Which means the spirit of Sophia, wisdom, which is Jesus twice, was right there from the beginning, seeing everything. He was in the beginning, he was with God. Next verse. All things were made through him, And without him, nothing was made that was made. Next verse. Quick, guys. In him was life, and the life was with the light of men. Next verse. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Next verse. There was a man sent from God, and his name was John. Next verse. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Next verse. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Next verse. That was the true light which gives light every man coming to the world. Next verse. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Next verse. He came to on his own, came to his own, you and I, and his own did not receive him. Next verse. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. Say with me, the right to become children of God. Now let me explain to you something. Say with me, I have a legal right. If I live in my father's house or in my parents' house, I can go to the fridge, unless if you have cruel parents, I can go to the fridge, open it, and I can take something out and drink it without asking. Are you guys with me? He says, now I've given you exousia, legal right, power. I've given you your right. It is your right as a child to become children of God, which means you can walk and take a gift as you want. Whatever belongs in his house is yours. The Bible says he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. That the silver and the gold is his. It is a matter of revelation. Knowing, but wait, I am a child of God. I am a son and a daughter of God. It is my right to prosper. It is my right to have full health. It is my right to be a blessing to my family. It is my right for protection upon my life. It is my right. Are you guys with me? I want you to understand that revelation. And let me close off. I haven't even started yet. I'm with the relationship. Okay. Are you guys with me? Make free, set free. The Bible says the knowledge of the truth shall, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's a difference between setting free and making free. Setting free is this. I take something and I open the tip, I tap the cage, I open it, I set it free. It can now fly out if it wants to. Okay, that's setting free. Making free is I make it free. I say, go out, you're free. That is the difference when it comes to setting free and making free. The word sets you free. Doesn't it say, wait. Go with me to Romans. Make you free. My apologies. Go to Romans. This is John 8 verse 32. Zaronus tenama lekanama. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you. Not said, the truth shall make you free. Someone said, make. It will push you when you have the knowledge of this word in you, given by prophetic revelation. What do I mean that? If you're sitting in this church and you can understand, and we are low level right now, we're not even getting into our revelatory honey type meetings. We are low level. You guys with me? But if you can sit even here in this church on a Sunday night, and you can understand the revelation when we speak about Ido, or Gnosko, and Epigonosko, and Logizomai, and you're making it a conclusion, a Logizomai, of what you have known, and we get into revelation, apocalypsis, and that ECC is not a church. It is an apocalypsis, a revelation, an opening of the eye. You must know that you have been made free if you can listen to this stuff that I'm preaching here. If I speak to you about substance or time or this, or angels come in and shake this wall or shake the building, as it did in our previous conference, you must know that you have been made free. Understand the truth and receive it by revelation. It doesn't matter what addiction, I was in a drug den when I got saved, and the power of God came on me, and He made me free in 1 second. The power touched me and He made me free. He didn't just set me free and left me there. He pushed me to a place where I know, but wait, the bonds and the chains are falling off me. And He made me able to fly out. Are you guys with me? Say with me the words. The word is very, very powerful. Trust me. Very, very powerful. We need to go. We need to go. James chapter number 4 verse 1. Go through to James chapter 4 verse 1. Why doesn't prayer get answered? Let's go to James chapter 4 verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Next verse. Your lust and you do not have. You murder, covet, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive. Listen to this. In the context of what I'm speaking now. Are you guys with me? We pray for everyone around in a circle for finances. And then afterwards they come and say, please, can I have prayer for finances? No, you have a lack of faith because you haven't received the prayer there. You asked there, but you didn't receive. Why are you going to receive here now? Because we have this man of God syndrome. I must pray for them. Oh no, when we did deliverance night, where the place was packed, like 4 times fuller than this, I stood on the stage here and I said to all our leaders, I just said, 1, 2, 3, go. When I said go, the demons screamed out of the building because they did it. Are you guys with me? You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Are you guys with me? He's saying, listen here, you're not asking right here because you want to spend it on your own pleasures. You're pressing the wrong button. That is why prayers is not being answered. One of them. Go with you to Matthew 22 verse 29. Matthew 2 verse 22 verse 29. Oh, sorry, we did that. My apologies. Go with me to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65 verse 19. Isaiah 65 verse 19. Quick. Isaiah 65 verse 19, listen to this. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard, nor the voice of crying. Next verse. Nor more shall any infant from their life live but a few days. Listen to this. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. Nor the child shall die. For the child shall die 100 years old. Next verse. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. He says, listen here, your life should not be less than 100. They shall build houses and inhabit them. Say these words with me. Say, I shall build houses and I shall live in them. They shall build vineyards and eat their fruit. Which means that, say this with me. Say, I shall build businesses and eat of its fruits. Next verse. For as the day of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Next verse. They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth children trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord. Next verse. It shall come to pass. Are you guys with me? Listen to this. That before you call, I will answer. And while you are still speaking, I have already heard. Leon de Pierre translation. Are you guys with me? Before you call, I will answer. While you are still speaking, I will hear you. God doesn't answer your prayer when you're praying. He answers your prayer before you have prayed. But now He doesn't even answer the words that comes out of your mouth. Listen, have you seen? He doesn't even answer the vain words that comes out of our mouth. Because we get on our knees and we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day not our daily bread. I'm just doing it for joking. Give us this our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive those who trespass against us, as we forgive them, and forgive us our trespasses. Do not let the enemy come in and tempt us. I don't even know the Our Father prayer. To yours is all the glory, that one know, all the honor, and all the power, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now I'm done. I've done my thing for today. Do you think God is a robot, man? The anointing rests upon somebody because they are a friend of God. A friend of God comes when you are talking to one another. You are spending time. There's no way in hell that if Eckhart is my friend and I'm going there, but he's got Chris there that's not my friend, that I want to go to his house. Are you guys with me? I'm not speaking of sinners, eh? But if I want to go and spend time with Eckhart as God, and he's my friend, or just me as Leon, and he's my friend, but he's got now two other three friends there that's not my friend, it's going to be awkward. I'm not going to be able to open up to him about secrets or have an intimate talk. I have to be reserved, closed off. Same with God in the house of God. That is why I chose always a small group of people to disciple, or we choose a small group of people on whom to talk to. Oh my God, we're late. The people must get free coffee. I don't know. Just arrange it. Where am I? I need to get this through. We haven't even touched the best parts. Listen here. 1 John 5 verse 14. 1 John 5 verse 14. 1 John 5 verse 14. Listen to this. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, say with you, according to His will, He hears us. He says, listen here, we can ask of Him anything, but let it be according to His will. Then He hears us. James says, you do not receive because you ask amiss. You ask on your own pleasures. Are you guys with me? Are you guys with me? So it's like, you know, how can I say it? It's like this. It's many times I will go, and I'm using a silly, provocative statement for our haters that are watching. I already got the messages. These ministers, we love them. Okay, so look, if I go and buy Gucci or an iWatch, which is not fashionable, okay, it's just functional, so that's nice. But I buy a nice jean. The reason I do it is because twofold. I literally go into that shop who has gone with me, and most of it, obviously, I got as gifts also and so on. But most of the time, I'll go into that shop thinking, what can I wear Sunday? Okay. So, I was seeing somebody preaching who's dressed like that. Obviously, no one in my church, so that's not a problem. I was seeing somebody preaching. It was funny. I just saw like a very wealthy church. And the man had this old Bronx on, and then his jeans was torn back here. It was baggy. Yes, I used to preach like that, so I can talk, okay? Back there, shirt was dirty and ripped, and it had a jacket that didn't even fit. And a young man, and the man was walking like this. Now, nothing, it's fine. I preached like that a lot when I was young, evangelism, itinerant, revival. You didn't know better. All I knew was black Woolworth shirt. That's all I knew. So, because Edgar, I used to wear a surprise, but was a bit thin, so I upgraded to. It's amazing, eh? Woolworths, I think Woolworths was 200 Rand. I think Mr. Price was like 25 Rand. And to go to 200 Rand was difficult for a shirt. It was difficult. It was really difficult. It was a luxury. Now, you won't see me walking close to Woolworths. I'm joking. I'm joking. Okay, but anyway, seeing this person preach, and they say, you must look up to us. You must follow us. And I'm sitting and I'm thinking, So I'm looking also at another service and our service and so on. I'm checking how our guys are dressed, and you know that I'm dressed at least a bit better now. And I'm thinking, who would I want to follow, or who would I want to speak to me about God? Who, if those two are telling me that God blesses, which one is it? Now there's extremes to the rule. I'm not making it a full-on rule, but you know, the Bible says that Jesus was dressed in his best. The fact that they casted lots for his robe that he had on, because it's similar to Joseph's robe that his father gave him, a royal robe that his brothers was jealous about. Jesus was a construction builder. And, you know, so clothing, another man in Mount Gerizim got delivered. And I'm talking gentle now. Tonight we preach and we're getting to things. Madman of Gerizim, the Bible says when he was delivered, he was sitting dressed in his right mind. Okay. And I was thinking, I made a decision when I started my ministry. This is me. I made a decision when I started our ministry. And then obviously to as much as I, when this church started, and then Chris helped me dress and so on. But Chris helped me dress and so on. But I was still wearing Chinatown. Even when we planted this church, Chinatown suits. It was good. It's all I knew. But you can still look very good in it. And I just made a decision. I want to do my best. And then I was looking at our church and I thought, you know, the term Sunday's best, we have completely revolutionized that term. Sunday's best used to be suits. It's now, it's something else. Okay. So, but listen, and even with my ministry, if I would print out CDs, I would do it to the best. All my CDs that you would see there, I would print it itself that time, cut it with the scissors, put it in its folders, put the CDs in for the night, work from until my wife wakes up, carry on working. And then I would do it with excellence, because I know excellence. X means coming from inside out, and L is God. Wherever excellence is, God is coming out of there and he's pleased with it. And I know we're not going to catch a world out there not operating in excellence. You know, I got an article, I think it was Uncle Mike that sent it to me. It was very good. Speaking about what my older self will tell my younger self, will teach my younger self. And the one, I'll tell you. It says, always buy quality things, because you'll spend more money fixing cheaper things than when you buy. And I have learned a lesson with church already, trust me. You know, so say with me, God does not answer your prayer. Why not? Romans 8 verse 26. Let me show you something. Romans 8 verse 26. I hope those guys are not upset. I need to finish this, guys. Need to finish this one. Huh? They got free coffee. Aye, but you still got some. Romans 8 verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for. Listen to this. For as we ought to. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Are you guys with me? Now, if the Holy Ghost is praying through you, it is not you praying, it is God praying. Then it is not God answering your prayer, it is God answering himself praying. When you allow yourself to sit and pray in other tongues, I don't understand if you hear what I'm saying. That when you pray, that's the Holy Ghost praying. Have you seen? Even Jesus, listen to me. I'm going to get to another key right now. Say with me, gratefulness. So you have relationship. Number two, you have gratefulness. There's not a night I go to bed and put my pillow down that I'm not grateful for my life. I've heard the richest of the rich speak on TV everywhere. And they would tell you qualities, and you will not find this quality missing anywhere. Are you guys with me? I would lie on my bed and I would envision my day and the years and where God has taken me from every night. I'll get a warmth in my spirit and butterflies in my stomach. So thankful I am. And grateful I am. Even when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he said this. He said, Father, I am just praying for their sake. But thank you. And then he said, Lazarus, rise up. He did a fake prayer. to please people around him. Go read it. Are you guys with me? He did a fake prayer. He says, Father, may all the glory go to you. But I'm just praying this now just for those that are here, for their unbelief, their religion, and their tradition. Because if I raise this man without praying to you, they're going to say, no, I did it now again by an evil power. Not knowing that I'm in relationship with you. Jesus faked a prayer. And then he put his hands down. He says, Father, I thank you. And then he walks. What did he say? Thank you. And then he walked and he says, Lazarus, come forth. A prayer of command, not asking, commanding. When you hit Krugersdorp, we are not asking or begging, we are commanding atmospheres to be shifted. We are commanding the bound to be loosed. We are commanding the oppressed and those who are in addiction to be loosed. Because in the next 2 weeks, powerful intercession and prayer and fasting is going into it. Have your seats. Listen. So the gratefulness. Listen, let your prayer be a prayer of confession. It's like the centurion. Words. I don't know how to explain the importance of words to God. Gratefulness. Thank you. Even the centurion said, I am a man under authority and a man over authority. I say to this one, go, and I say to that one, come. But you, Jesus, I recognize authority. Just say a word and I'll do it. Just say a word and I'll do it. Which he means, and Jesus said, within you is great faith. Why? He knew the faith in words. He had faith. You don't have to come to my house and lay hands or do this. Just say one word and I know it's healed. My servant is healed. Are you guys with me? Women, I had to learn the hard lesson with my wife that that words means a lot to women. And, you know, a lot of men just want sex and no words. A lot of women just want words and no sex. And then, you know, the Bible says, clean your wife by the washing of the word. It's a command. And when we don't talk, you'll see a wife or a female is made up in such a way that if you talk evil, hard or cutting, it destroys them. They are the weaker vessels for a very strong reason. Are you guys with me? And when somebody doesn't love in word and deed, they don't love. So I always say to men also, you know, it's when we do premarital counseling, I try to tell them, guys, the ones who listen, your first year of marriage, do not speak evil against one another, towards one another. Words can destroy a whole marriage. And it's the husband's responsibility. The Bible says you wash your wife by the washing of the word. Are you guys with me? Words washes females. Words washes. They are washed by it when they hear words. Now for me, it's very difficult because I was brought up in a family or I had some problems when it comes to affection or even speaking with words of affection. And, you know, some people, so for example, for me, it is very difficult to say to somebody that I'm intimate with or somebody that I really love. So you must know if I tell you I love you, I don't really love you. So somebody that I really love, to say to them, I love them by looking them in the eyes. I can tell you a weakness, that's my weakness. I do not know why, because it's an area that God is still healing me in. Are you guys with me here? And there are many men sitting here that'll do. That's why we're going to do a men's conference. Once Krugersdorp is going, we'll do a men's conference. You know, he says, let's jump. Let's go to the last one. 1 Kings, tell them, Chris, tell them 1 more minute. Let's go quickly to 1 Kings 3 verse 3. I'll close over this. 1 Kings 3 verse 3. 1 Kings 3 verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. Listen to this. Walking in the statutes of his father, David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the highest place. This, I'm giving you the third key. Say with me, unselfishness. Going next verse. Now the king went to Gibeon. Say with me, Gibeon. To sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. Do you know how much that is? Next verse. At Gibeon, say with me again, Gibeon. So it is the place where he sowed and sacrificed was the place that God appeared to Solomon in a dream by a night. And God said, ask, what shall I give you? Next verse. And Solomon said these words, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness of him. Next verse. At Gibeon, the Lord God appeared to Solomon in a dream. Say with me, Gibeon. No, you went back now one verse. Where are you guys doing? Where are you guys now? Go back one verse. You're throwing me off here. Continue this great kindness for him. Next verse. And you have given him a son to sit on his throne at it this day. Next verse. I know we're also training people. Now, O Lord my God, listen to Solomon's heart. You have made your servant king instead of my father, David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Next verse. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant. Remember, God said, what do you want? Imagine you here. I want $100 million. Instantly. Are you guys with me? No, I'm not saying me. I'm speaking on your behalf. Okay? I want all this stuff, all these houses. I want this. Listen here. Maybe I was there as well. Maybe I'm still there. We all have weaknesses. But I learned. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people. Whoa. In John, it says you pray and you do not receive because you do not pray according to the will and you ask it on your own lust and pleasures. Are you guys with me? Here it's saying he is asking according to God's will, not for himself, anything, but for God. Give me a heart that I can judge your people. Give me wisdom and understanding that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? He even knows. I can take a whole study to tell you how to speak to great people out of this verse. Next verse. The speech pleased the Lord. That means that anything that is selfish does not please God. Are you guys with me? That Solomon had asked this thing. Next verse. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Oh, you would have asked riches for yourself or justice for your enemies. Let that one die. That's what some of us would pray. Next verse. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone among you, before you, no one like you before you, nor anyone like after you. Next verse. And I have also given you what you have not asked, so within not asked. That's why God doesn't answer prayer. He's given you what is in your heart. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any like you among the kings all your days. Next verse. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes, my commandments, as your father did, then I will lengthen your days. Next verse. Then Solomon he said, listen here, I have now given you. No, where were you? Previous verse. There we go. And I have also given you what you have, say with me, not asked. Both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among you. This is what I call unselfishness. Say these three words for me. Say relationship. We need relationship. Number two, say with me, gratefulness. Gratefulness is the greatest key to prosperity. Number three, say with me, unselfishness. If you have these three things in your prayer life, see what God will begin to do in your life. Are you guys with me? Let's stand to our feet. I know the time is over. God, push it or minister to you, anything. Raise your hands wherever you are. Father, may this anointing come upon your people. May this glory and your power rest upon them. May the anointing, may this revelation of prayer come upon their lives. I pray that you will ignite every spirit inside of us, our prayer hearts, our hearts to pray, our spirits to pray. Put an anointing for prayer inside of them. put an hunger for prayer inside of them. Tonight, the night of Allos Parakletos, being divinely guided, that we'll learn secrets about your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'll prophesy, that you will move, that you will do miracle signs and wonders and touch every person. And I'm excited to see you here. We give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.